looking for you to cuss them out. They'll be looking for you to throw a fit. They'll be looking for you to say something out of character. But you got to say, you can look for me all you want, because my life is hidden in him. So what you're looking for, you can't see, because there's not that person not here, because God has covered me. He's hidden me from you so that you can't accuse me of doing something. So that you, oh, I wish somebody, I'm preaching to one or two people. That's all right. You one or two, you catch on to that. He said he'll hide me in his pavilion and in the secret of his tabernacle, in the dwelling place of God, he will hide me and he'll set me upon a rock. In other words, he give me a solid place to stand. All other is sinking sand, all the mud. And David said he picked me up out of the muck and miry clay and placed my feet on a rock. We got to understand that when he places our feet on a rock, who's that rock? Jesus is the rock. Oh, we used to sing that song, my Jesus is a rock in a weary land. But Jesus is a rock. And so when we stand upon the rock, he gives us sure footing. And then that lets us know that we're not going to slip and slide. We're not going to fall. And we're not going to falter, because he's placed us in the secret place of his pavilion. When we look at Psalm number 91, he said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to know that in the secret place, you're in God's shadow. That's why when David wrote Psalm number 23, he said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the only reason why there's a shadow is because of the light that shines over the shadow to give you a shadow. Amen. And so what God is showing us is that I'm always with you. I'm present with you when you're going through. I'll cover you when they come and bring trouble to your life. And he says, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. I wish I had somebody here. He said, my head will be lifted up above my enemies. And why do my head need to be lifted? Because all the time I'm looking at my enemy. I'm looking at people. I'm looking at what they done and what they did and what they're trying to do. I wish I had somebody. I'm looking at my enemy, but then God lifts my head up above my enemies, and I no longer see my enemy, but I see what God is taking me. I see what God is doing for me. I see God's deliverance down the road. I see the prosperity down the road.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1, K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9, K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
has been good to you. You ought to be grateful. Somebody ought to be grateful in the house. Somebody ought to be grateful in the house. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Grateful heart. Oh, my goodness. Give the Lord a hand of praise in his house. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this privilege and honor to hear your word. Pray that the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text, tell of the truth that we're teaching today, that every hearer's heart might not only hear you, but heed you. Give us understanding and illumination of the text, and then give us the principles to practice for profit. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to call your attention, if you will, this morning to the book of Philippians, a very familiar verse of scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And it simply says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As we look at this word today, my brothers and sisters, as Paul is sharing at the church or with the church at Philippi about their acceptable sacrifice and about the glory that God receives and how he was blessed, but that the process does not end just in that twofold reality, but there is a third reality that he brings into focus in verse 19, which ultimately gives us to know today that if we learn how to do as God has instructed us, as God has provided opportunity to sow and to bless, that as we release, God has a principle at play. It's called sowing and reaping, or releasing and receiving. And when we learn how to give as God, not man, somebody say God, as God so inspires us and instructs us to do, we have the assurance that God shall meet all of our need. One of the things that Paul says, and he begins in verse 10 by saying, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, I want to share with you, as Paul starts off and as he shares this word with the church and helping them, teaching them, one of the things that was very clear and evident at the time that Paul wrote this letter was that he was not standing in need. He was not asking them for anything. He was not in a place of desperation. And so his message was not about giving him something or sowing into his ministry for the sake of helping him out of a bad situation. He was trying to lay down some principles for them to practice so that they could profit and know with assurance that God's promises are true and that he backs up his word. Now, one of the things, again, as you look at what he says in verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me had flourished again, wherein ye were also careful." You were, again, obedient in doing what you desired to do as far as blessing him. He says, "But you lacked opportunity." And then he goes on to say, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," it's personal, "in whatsoever state I am, therewith, with what I have, to be content." Now, this is a lesson that we all ought to learn, because in learning this lesson, we don't put ourselves in a predicament or in a place where we feel that we are at the need or the hand or at the behest of someone else. We need to know that God is our source and God is our supply. And when you do what God has called you to do, he will always have people strategically placed to help you accomplish what he has assigned for your hands to do. God is not going to give you a vision and not provide the provision. And so when you come into the knowledge and the understanding of the word that if God has called you to do something, it's God's responsibility to provide. But those through whom he uses to provide those supplies, he also bountifully blesses. Now I want you to look at this word. Verse 12 says, "I know both how to be abased," that's humbled, "and I know how to abound," that's to reach and to be abundantly blessed. He says, "everywhere," which means not just in the sacred or the secular realm, but in every area I find myself, "and in all things." Again, not limited to the sacred or to the secular, but as this covers the whole gamut of life. He says, "I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." Now, this instruction comes from the Holy Ghost, because there are times when the Holy Ghost knows, well, of course, he knows all the time, but there are times he reveals to you, there is a time you can be hungry, but you need to act like you're full. Some of y'all will catch that on your way home. And then there are times when you are full because somebody has sacrificed and gone way out, and they would be offended if you did not partake of what they prepared. And so you must partake of it and act as if you have need of or desire of what they've gone through sacrificially to prepare for you. And so he says, "I am instructed," having a greater base of knowledge than just the situation itself, knowing that underneath the skin, knowing that in the spirit realm, there is another principle at play, and possibly in that same situation God chooses to use him to be a blessing or to receive a blessing in that same reality. And then he goes on to say, "both to abound and to suffer need." Now, all of this is based and hinged on the conjunction "and," which means, again, that all of this is tied to his instruction. There are some people that God just won't let sow into your life, because their sowing is not sincere, their motives are not right, and they want to bless you, but they want something from you that ain't got nothing to do with God. And when God reveals that to you, you have to say, "Well, no, I can't receive that. I'm not released, or I have not been given clearance to receive that." And so you need to realize there are some gifts God don't want you to receive, because everything that appears to be a gift isn't a gift. Somebody don't hear me here today. And so the Spirit of God will reveal to you when you can and when you cannot receive it, or when you shall abound and when you shall suffer need. Notice here again, he says, "I can do," verse 13, "all things through Christ which strengtheneth," continual process of motion, action, and doing. God, through Christ Jesus, continually strengthens us. Listen to what he says. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done." Notwithstanding, ye have well done. I want to give you your props. You have done well. He says that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, this didn't just have to do with what some might consider bodily or sickness or those things that would be in the flesh, but afflictions, more expanded, means trials, tribulations, and sufferings. And he says, when I was going through those trials, tribulations, and sufferings, you ministered to me. You communicated to me. It meant you gave to me. You supplied a need in my life. Now, one of the things that I thank God for the Spirit of God is that when you are led by the Spirit of God, sensitive to the Spirit of God, God will put upon your heart to do, to give, to release, to minister, to communicate. The person doesn't have to ask you for anything. You see, if the saints of God would be sensitive to the Spirit of God, we'd find our lives far more blessed. But a whole lot of us have to wait till somebody asks us before we would even consider being a blessing to them, when you got need to know that the Holy Ghost is the one who will make clear the need that a person has in their life. And many times they don't ask because they know God is their source and their supply. But you, again, serve as a conduit. You, as a born-again believer, as a person in the body of Christ, is the person that God uses in the natural realm to transfer those things that that person has need of into their hands or into their accounts or into their manageability. And so it is you that God uses. He doesn't open up heaven and rain down money. Luke 6:38 said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom." They are the ones that God will use to bring into your control the things that God has need of you to do. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now he's going back and he's remembering and reminding them that he knows when he left Macedonia and was continuing on his journey and needed help and support, and the churches knew it. It wasn't but one church that came to his rescue, one church that came to his aid, and it was the Philippian church. And so he reminds them that he knows, just as he knows, God knows what they have done to be a blessing for the furthering of the gospel. And he makes clear, no church communicated with me as concerning, is he clear enough, giving and receiving, but ye only. Then he says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now I want you to hear these words and get them in your mind and see what he's saying. Now he's dealing with them again in the ministry of giving and receiving. Not that he wants anything from them. As a matter of fact, presently they're doing wonderfully. And so it's clear to them that he's not talking about more money, but rather helping them to understand the principle of sowing and reaping, or releasing and giving. Why is this important? Because what they need to know is, though they sacrificially gave this, they gave this without the understanding of how the process works in return. You see, God wants you to be wise about his word and about giving and receiving. You know, if you really knew that what you truly gave as led by the Spirit of God was going to come back and come back multiplied, if you really knew in your spirit that when you obeyed the Holy Ghost, when he told you to give or told you to sow or told you to minister to someone, that you would be obedient unto him, that he has blessings waiting to return back to your life. If you really knew, if you gave your last, that it wouldn't be the last you'll have to give, you would not be stingy and holding back and always using and measuring out miserly the things you want to give to God. You would say, "God, tell me what you want, and whatever I have, you got it."
And when you begin to understand, the only reason why God wants to get from you is so he can give more to you, so that he can repeat the process. And every time he repeats the process, it gets larger and larger. And he even said, if you want to sow and don't have no seed, just desire in your heart to be a sower, and I'll touch somebody's heart to put some seed in your hand. His job is to give seed to the sower, not the spender. See, if you had a desire for missions, if you had a desire to help a church or ministry struggling, or if God puts on your heart to be a blessing to someone who is a blessing to many, and you obeyed God, you need to know that God himself is going to bless you. You need to know that it's not about that person. It is about the leading of the Holy Ghost and how God will multiply the seed sown and return it back to you for his glory and your good. What happens if you sowed a dollar? And it might have been your last dollar. And the Spirit of the Lord said, sow this dollar. And you said, but Lord, that's my last dollar. And he said, I know it's your last dollar. Just sow the dollar. And then you realize you ain't got enough to really buy a hamburger, because by the time you pay the taxes on the dollar, you ain't really got enough. So you came buy a hamburger with the dollar, and God knew that was your only dollar, but he just wanted to get you in a place where he could return, multiplied that dollar. And see, what he really wants to know is if you trust him more than you trust that dollar. I wish I had somebody here. And so if you'll say, Lord, if you say give it, I'm going to give it, because you are my source, not this dollar. And you give the dollar, and I promise you, in obedience to the design of God, and as the Spirit of God moves upon you and ministers to you, and you be a blessing to whomever he has said to be a blessing, or sow wherever he has said sow, before you know it, he will replace that dollar multiplied many times over. Has it ever been your experience in a worship service? You gave your last, and you knew it was your last, and yet God said it, and you did it, and before the next day got here, matter of fact, sometime before you ever got out of the church, or before you ever got home, or before you ever had another need, God, you might have given that dollar. No, you didn't have lunch money. Went on to work, and a co-worker or someone said, let me treat you to lunch today, and you would have gotten more lunch than the money you had. Oh, somebody's not hearing me here. I'm just trying to tell you, he works in mysterious ways. But it's about you trusting him. Trusting him. He says that you were the only one who communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again, listen now, unto my necessity, to my needs, to my needs, to my needs. Somehow they got a report, either by the Spirit or by persons, that Paul was in need of this, in need of that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But however they received the report, they responded in like manner. Somebody probably from the church at where they were in Philippi probably said, well, how much does he need down there in Thessalonica? And they probably said, well, he needs such and such and so, because he's trying to do this, he's trying to complete this, he's trying to do this and such a thing. And whatever that need was, they got together amongst themselves and they sent sufficient to meet the need that Paul had. Now notice he says that, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity and not to my desire or to my wants, but to my necessity, to the needs that I have as related to the ministry God has called me to. Now look at what he says, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, look at me, I'm doing good. This ain't about me wanting something from you. It's about because you've been a blessing to me when I needed you to be a blessing to me, I want to get you functioning according to principle. I want you to understand now that it's not just my time to receive, but the same God that has blessed me through you is desiring to bless you back again. And when you get this in your spirit, man, when you understand the principle, you will flow more, not just for me, but as a servant of God, as a vessel for God, as a vehicle for God to bless the body of God. When you understand what's going on here, it's going to expand your ability to be blessed and be a blessing. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about there are other people God will bring on your path, other people God will put in your spirit, other people that God will attire and assign your heart to be in ministry with. I'm just saying be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I'm saying being sensitive to the things that God himself will give to you as an assignment to sow into. Yes, sir. Look again at what he says. Not because I desire a gift. That's right. I'm not in need. I'm not in want. This is not what this is about. But look at what he says. But I desire fruit. Yes, now listen at this. You don't get fruit till you plant a seed. Somebody didn't get that. I said you don't get fruit till you plant a seed. And the seed had to do with need. And so as he was saying to them, as you have met me in my need with your seed, you're not going to get a seed back in return. You are going to get fruit. Oh, somebody ought to hear me here. Now listen at this. With every piece of fruit you get, there are some more seeds in the fruit. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. If you just understood, when you sowed into my life a seed, God's going to bless you back with some more fruit. But in every piece of fruit, you're going to have some more seeds. So the seeds, listen, the fruit is to be eaten, but the seed is to be planted. And the only reason why I'm telling you this is if it worked for me. Oh, I wish I had somebody. It can and will work for you. Listen to what he said. Not because, verse 17 again, I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound or be credited to your account. Now, I like the way he says, you know, abound to your account. That means to be added to your account. That means to be credited to your account. And I got news for you. If it's credited to your account, if it's been added to your account, what I'm trying to tell you, what happens if you went to the bank tomorrow and you knew you only had $100 and a few in there? But you sowed a seed and God multiplied the seed, and you don't understand it. You don't know how it happens, but you check your balance. And when you thought it was $100 and some, only to discover it was $1,000 and some. I'm trying to ask you, would you be happy about that? And then you say, well, no, something must be wrong. I'm an honest person. I know that I didn't have $1,000 and some in my account. Then they say, well, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. It was a cash deposit. I wish I had a witness in the house. Now, you got a choice. You can use it or you can leave it stay there, but it's credited. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. Listen, that's how God does in the supernatural realm. You may not see it. You may not eventually know it the way that you should at this point until you get the principle down. But you've got to know that somewhere between the releasing and the receiving, God credits your account. Sometime between your need and the need being met, God credits
your account. Sometime when you're looking at somebody else and God is looking at you and you have need of what you release, God credits your account. Sometime we know your rent is due, but God has need of the money that you do have, and it seems crazy in the natural, but God says, I need you to spend this rent money to help somebody else who's about to lose their house. And you say, well, God, this is my rent money here. He says, but that's all right, just do what I say do. And you give up the rent money to help them who's about to lose their house, and before you know it, God multiplies your rent money.